One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Chapter 42, Book 133 of the Barber Family Saga. Today, a brief mention of Sanda 7. Mr. William Martin Herbert Pinky Murray, night manager of Sears Savoy of Sausalito, in black tie and dinner jacket, is breakfasting at his grandmother's at 6 o'clock on a misty February evening. His chatter is having a disturbing effect on Mother Barber, who sips tea across the table from him in the breakfast room.
So Hank told Mom, before she left for Paris, that he and Greta might dock off for Reno or someplace and get married. And is he lucky? She's prettier than she ever was, you know it?
Does Sanda ever come out to the hotel and have dinner with you again?
Who? Oh, Sanda. Oh, no, not so much. She's still kind of sore at Dad for giving me the job.
Well, Pinky, why?
I don't have time to sit around with her in the coffee houses. Oh, wait, you didn't let me finish. I said to Greta last night, I said, which appeals most, home life or adventure? Well, sir, the way she looked at Hank went through me like a spear. I don't see how a girl as domestic as she is could get herself into such a trap.
Next time you have a day off, why don't you invite Sanda out here to spend the day with us?
Well, I could. Sure, okay. And look at it from Hank's standpoint. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, wouldn't it be tough to be married to a beautiful little dame like Greta and then watch her fly over the North Pole a couple times a month?
Honey, I'm home.
We're here in the breakfast room, Henry.
Yes, oh, had a magnificent day at the factory. We saw... Oh, Pinky, what are you dressed for?
Work.
Oh, yes, I sometimes forget. Good, excellent.
I ain't got half an hour yet, Grandfather. There's a letter from Dan and Mom.
Oh, good. Get it for me, please. I'm starved, Fanny, hungry as a wolf. How about a cup of coffee?
Before you wash up?
Yes, yes. Then I'm going over to Jones and see the children. I bought a new bedtime story.
Well, they're staying in Claudia's, remember.
Eh? Oh, yes, yes. Slipped my mind. Well, sir?
There's the letter from Paris, Grandfather.
Oh, thank you very much. You must get out of bed early some afternoon, Pinky, and come and visit me at the factory.
Yes, sir, I might do that. Well, excuse me. I'll get my stuff together.
Go ahead, read it, Henry. I've seen it.
Yeah.
What time do you expect Hank?
Well, he thought he'd be here for dinner.
Greta, too?
Well, she hoped to get back in time. She had to go to the airline office. We set a place for her.
Yeah, well, I won't leave here till 7. Let me know when they turn up.
All right, Pinky.
Old boy Ryerson with his heart.
Very amusing, the part Hazel wrote about the Paris subway. What's the news here?
I told Betty today. I'm not at all sure you didn't retire about 30 years too soon.
By George, Fanny, I'll tell you this. If I had it to do over again, I'd cut down to half days, perhaps, or take periodic vacations, but I'd never retire. Activity keeps you young. I don't even get tired. Hank took my pressure last night. I have the blood pressure of a healthy boy of 40. What happened? Go on, you didn't tell me.
Well, let me see. Paul had to go to Denver. He'll be back tonight or in the morning.
Yes.
Claudia and Nicholas are having a late dinner with her old friend Del Mannington after they put the children to bed.
I hope she sees the humor in it, putting her grandchildren to bed and then off to dinner with an ancient beau accompanied by the best husband any woman ever had.
I'm sure it amuses them both, Henry.
Yes.
And, yes, Joan wrote Zeppelin to be sure to take some time off, but Zeppelin can't decide where to go.
Yes. Well... What are you and Pinky talking about?
Greta, mostly.
Is Pinky seeing as much of Sanda Sears 7 as he did?
I'm afraid not.
Hey, do you suppose the boy realizes he got that job in the first place because Mr. Sears felt he was a good influence on Sanda?
Well, that's hardly a thing we can discuss with him.
On the contrary, it's an item to remember. I'll mention it to you.
Good evening.
Oh, it's Greta.
Hey.
Good evening, my dear. Come in. Then you will be here for dinner.
If I'm still invited, I would adore to stay.
We set a place for you.
Thank you so much. Is Hank here?
Nope, but I am.
Oh. Pinky, you startled us.
How dressed up.
Night manager, ready for action. Hey, come on to the library with me. Let me read you a letter we got from Mom and Dan. Where is it, Grandfather? Oh, here it is. Come on, beautiful.
All right. Will you people excuse me?
Yes. Shall we go in there too, Fanny? Yes, I'll come along. I'll join you too.
Thank you. return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Do you know who said, "Absolute freedom of the press to discuss public questions is a foundation stone of American liberty"? Those words were said by former President Herbert Hoover. Mr. Hoover was well aware of the important role that freedom of the press had played in the creation and growth of the United States of America. He realized that without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist. One of the first steps in the path toward totalitarianism is the creation of a controlled press. A free press hampers the work of a potential dictator. When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery. Remember the words of Herbert Hoover. They are part of your American heritage. Freedom of the press is a foundation stone of American liberty.
In the library a few minutes later, Pinky sits beside Greta on the davenport reading his mother's letter from Paris, as Father Barber across the room sorts through the day's second-class mail at his ancient roll-top desk.
So there I was in the celebrated Paris subway, desperately trying to remember the French word for out. My mind wouldn't dredge it up, and I wandered from level to level before I calmed down and got my vocabulary back again. Sortie.
I know the feeling. The Paris metro can be very bewildering. So many levels and so cool. Oh, go on, Pinky.
Dan makes a speech to the convention today, and then we will rent a little four-cylinder bug and drive to Brittany. I never can thank Father enough for giving me this trip.
Henry!
Yes?
Are you ready for dinner? Henry, 5 minutes! Have you washed up?
Yes, I'm going now. Excuse me. Greta, how long would you be in San Francisco this time?
I have 4 days before my next trip, Father Bob.
Good. I want you to come to the factory and see how we make skis.
Oh, we didn't join that.
We work out a date at dinner time.
Thank you, sir. Is that all the letter, Pinky?
No, not quite. She says, please cable us care American Express Paris if Hank and Greta do decide to get married while we're away.
Yes, do decide. How all the bothers adore big weddings, yes?
No, I don't know. After the last one, I'm kind of cured, personally.
Your mother would like not to miss our wedding. That is clear from all the things she said. And perhaps she will not miss it either.
Why?
The office is not too enthusiastic.
Oh?
Mr. Nordstrom was very stern with me today.
Well, why should he care?
Oh, he cares very much. Also, I can see his point of view. They've spent a big sum training me in Copenhagen. Now, after 3 trips, I decide to get married to Hank. Next thing you know, I will be having a baby. This is wonderful for me, but very costly to an airline.
Well, did he say you couldn't get married?
Well, of course, they cannot impose any such restriction, but last fall I assured them I did not have a beau or plan to marry. And this was true at the time. I'm supposed to work for at least 1 year. He made it seem reasonable.
I think the guy's absolutely right. What's a year? Then you can be absolutely sure.
But I am sure I want to be married. I want it more than anything.
Okay, but what can you lose by waiting one little old year? If you still want to marry Hank 12 months from now, you'll be even sure. I think it's great, though. That's a very sensible airline.
Tell me, Pinky. Lately, we have not talked about your lovely poet girl. You promised I could meet her. I'm looking forward to it.
Sandra? Oh, yeah. Well, sure. One of these days.
Is not anything wrong between you?
No. She's writing another book. Poetry. Keeps her kind of busy, and I don't get downtown so much. Hello?
Oh, well, Hank, that's too bad. Well, all right, we'll tell Greta. Yes, goodbye. We'll tell her.
Hank phoned. Grandmother answered it on the extension.
Greta, Hank will call you back in a few minutes. He's in surgery. Can't get home for dinner.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah, but I'll sit with you and have another cup of coffee. I've still got 15 minutes before I have to go. I'll leave you all cheered up.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
This might sound a little confusing at first, but if you've heard of a library having been woven well, you might credit the United States Officers' Wives Club, formerly at Wheelis Air Base, for inventing the idea. The women got interested in a school for some 300 homeless boys under the jurisdiction of the Libyan government. The school had native teachers, but had precious little in the way of essential educational aids. The fact they didn't have a library started the wheels of progress in motion. The Officers' Wives Club could easily have raised a fund for books, but members decided this wasn't the sensible thing to do under the circumstances. The boys were just learning to read and write, and it would take a while before they could use a library and realize its value. So instead of books, the club bought the school a loom and a supply of yarn. The plan called for the boys to learn how to weave barakan, the soft cloth used by native women to make dresses, and the popular fabric with Westerners who managed to visit Libya. Proceeds from initial sales of the material were invested in more yarn until a sizable stock existed. Then the school diverted the profits for books. Not only did the boys help earn their own library, but they also got vocational training in weaving. One of the wives of the club was asked how they happened to hit on this particular idea. She replied, "It just evolved." Elaborating a bit, she explained that the members of the club thought it was a good step toward getting Libya's future citizens to recognize the fact that Americans wished them well, and that they were willing to do what they could to help their immediate needs. Plainly, she added, "We can do with more knowing in North Africa these days. Yes, these homeless boys of Libya can hold their heads up and be proud they had the chance to earn their own library and keep it growing with a loom and a supply of yarn. These United States officers' wives gave us all a thought to remember. We are Americans. As we go, so goes America."
And now it's 10 o'clock, and in his big chair beside the hearth, Father Barber has been resting his eyes. But now opens them suddenly.
Is this Thursday?
Has been all day long.
Yeah. Tomorrow is the last Friday of the month. Ross Farnsworth stay with the children. Will he visit them at Claudia's?
Claudia hasn't heard a word. Now, let's not start talking about Ross at this hour. We'll never get to sleep.
The last I heard, he was going to sue us till our teeth rattled. Then, silence.
Coming. Now, what are you thinking about?
Did you notice the soulful way that Pinky gazes at Greta?
Oh, honestly, this is why you have insomnia. Just before you go to bed, you start looking for something to worry about.
I wish Hank would elope and marry the girl. That's what I wish. I want it settled.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Moore. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 43, Book 133, That Friday Visitor. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.